You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
We're back. Welcome along to the Punt Podcast here with William Hill. Good to have you with us ahead of a Premier League weekend. It's been much missed with the international break taking over for the last 7 days. Dave Kellner here, joined as always by Tom Kerwin and Derek McGovern. First of all, good morning to you, Derek.
Good morning, Dave. Morning, Tom. Hope all well.
All is good, Tom?
Very well. Yeah, very well now that the football's back this weekend. Proper good games as well. Really good games.
Got some proper football this weekend, having endured the international break midweek. And England's performance, Derek, left a lot to be desired, shall we say.
Well, the only thing you can be thankful for is that we're not Scottish. I mean, yeah, how bad are they? Yeah, England, just the same old, isn't it? I mean, it looks as though Southgate, unbelievably, is going to get the job full-time unless they lose to Scotland, which obviously ain't going to happen. And you just, you know, it makes you fear for the future of the English national team. Well, I mean, we've been doing that for years, haven't we? And nothing ever changes. I don't think we've been, to be honest, I've said it many times on this bulletin. I don't think the players have of sufficient quality, and they certainly don't care about an international team, but I don't blame them for that.
It fills a summer every 2 years, Tom, but when it interrupts the Premier League season, it is not warranted and not enjoyed.
Yeah, and I don't know what the answer is to this, whether we have some kind of different seeding system or different kind of, I don't know, with the groups. I mean, a lot of talk about a lot of the smaller nations sort of having a pre-qualifying group and trying to sort of weed out these games, because there is absolutely nothing to get excited about. Even the Scotland game next month, which admittedly when the draw was made, people thought, this could be quite a tasty one. Even the way that both teams have kind of set up in the first few matches, you're thinking, well, Scotland aren't going to give England a game unless they dramatically improve, which they probably will do. The only good thing about the international break, chaps, was seeing San Marino score another away goal. 2 in 14 months. That is form on the road for San Marino. To be honest, that is the only thing I got really, really excited about.
Let's get stuck into the Premier League this weekend. Some good games on the schedule this weekend. And we start Saturday lunchtime with Chelsea versus Leicester. And Chelsea are 4-7 to win this match. The draw 16-5. And Leicester in the market at 5-1. Derek, there's been a major move for Antonio Conte to be the next Premier League manager to lose his job. Into 5-2 here with William Hill. A lot of cash on that over the last 24 hours. And at Chelsea, look remarkably short in the betting here to win this game. Leicester are a massive price, but I mentioned this on a podcast a few weeks ago. You've got to be wary of Leicester when they've got a Champions League game coming up.
Exactly. Look at their two results pre-Champions League matches this season. 4-1 defeat at Liverpool, 4-1 defeat against Man United. You know, both shocking performances as well. It seems we suspected during that Liverpool game that they're saving themselves for what comes 3 days later, and that was reinforced against United. So the thing is, I look at this fixture and I thought, well, I'm going to be back in Chelsea to beat Leicester here, given what I've just said. But 4-7, what on earth? How on earth do they manage a price like that, Chelsea? You know, and all this stuff about the manager, where did it come from? I know they haven't made a great start to the season, Chelsea, but they're a long way from struggling. And there's no smoke without fire, isn't it, in football? And you wonder what's gone on behind the scenes there for a gamble of that size, Conte from nowhere becoming favourite for the sack race. You know, it might just be rumour and hearsay, but you know, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. There's the first warning signs there. And I'm thinking if you back Chelsea at 4-7, you're taking an awful turn. I looked at this fixture and I thought, yeah, Chelsea will win this because of Leicester's Champions League engagement. But I can't touch them at those kind of prices. What I'm going to have to do, I'm afraid, is back Leicester on the handicap. Leicester with a goal start, because I've got to oppose Chelsea at those odds. So Leicester with a goal start, I'd say just over odds against, I think it is.
Yeah, it's 11-8 actually, Derek, which is a decent price, Leicester +1. I couldn't believe it when I came to look at this fixture, Tom, and saw Chelsea at 4-7 to win the match. I can't believe how short that is. And I think pride's got to kick in at some point for Leicester City away at one of these big clubs. And having been beaten 4-1 at Anfield and 4-1 at Old Trafford, they'll expect a performance from their players. The fans will anyway. And I think with the pace of Islam Slimani and Jamie Vardy up front against Gary Cahill at the back, Leicester can go there and do something.
Yeah, they can, Dave. I don't worry about Leicester going forward. I still don't. I worry about them at the back. And what they've really struggled to get to grips with is quite literally the opposition players in the box, because they can't do it anymore. I think it's been a major problem for Leicester, for Stoke, and for a few other teams that, let's just say, have been robust in their sort of defensive situations. And that's where Leicester have come, you know, badly unstuck in those two games that they did lose 4-1. Yeah, their minds are focused on the Champions League. It's kind of roles reversal for these two clubs. Chelsea are just focused on the league. Leicester are just focused on Europe. And, you know, that's not been the case for years for these two sides. So I think it's Leicester's defensive problems that would really concern me. You know, Huth and Morgan and whoever else has come in, they've been tough, they were strong, they were physical, but in a fair way. I mean, people talked last season about the dark arts and all of that, but I thought they did it brilliantly. But this year, there's been this clampdown, and I think that's why Leicester have struggled in the games against the bigger side. They would never have been embarrassed as they were at Old Trafford and at Anfield, as they have done. But I can't see Leicester winning it, but I can't be backing Chelsea either at that price. I like the look of Costa here to sort of ruffle a few feathers at the back again. I mean, he's got 9-11 for club and country this season already. But you've got to simply look at these stats, chaps. Chelsea, 2 clean sheets in the last 9. You know, Antonio Conte has not done what I thought he was going to do, which was really tighten them up, probably because he hasn't got the personnel. And Leicester have scored in all 3 away games. So even those hammerings they took at Old Trafford and at Anfield, they scored in both of them. So I'm looking at both teams to score, and I quite like the look of the both score no draw market at 29-20, though.
Yeah, I do as well. I think the both teams to score is a good bet here. That on its own is 4-6. Enhanced odds, Eden Hazard to score and Chelsea to win was 17-10, enhanced to 5-2. And if you like the look of Jamie Vardy to score and Leicester to win, that's enhanced from 8-1 to 10-1. That's the 12:30 kickoff on Saturday. The 5:30 kickoff is Crystal Palace versus West Ham. And Crystal Palace are 11-10 to win the match. The draw 12-5. With West Ham 11-4. Enhanced odds, Christian Benteke to score and Palace to win was 11-5. That's been enhanced to 3-1. And Mikel Antonio to score and West Ham to win was 9-2, boosted to 6-1. And I think the West Ham fans, Tom, will be fearing the sight of old boss Alan Pardew dancing down the touchline in this one, because different ends of the spectrum as far as form are concerned, these two teams. Palace unbeaten in 5 in the league, while in that period, West Ham have only picked up 1 point. And that pre-season optimism seems like a dim and distant memory for the Hammers. They are struggling at the moment, badly, Tom.
Yeah, you talk about things being a dim and distant memory. So Slaven Bilic's receding hairline. Have you seen him this week? He's gone away for the international break. He's come back with a full head of hair. I don't know whether that, you know, whether he thinks that might be a good luck charm or it might change the omens. To be honest, I'm with Palace on this. I mean, I've been quite impressed with them over the last few games. Not to a point where I think Palace are back to maybe where they were the first half of last season. But, you know, I think that they sort of strike on that little bit of form. 11 points in the last 5 games. They're at home. And West Ham, this is their worst start to a season since 1988. They look devoid of ideas. Their creative players aren't producing, you know, on a consistent basis. Defensively, they do have a lot of injuries, and I think that is a major problem for West Ham. But I can't look past Crystal Palace here. And you've got to bear in mind, they've got a frontman, Palace, who's in incredible form. I mean, you don't score the kind of goals he was scoring in midweek in international football without being a good player. Oh, no, it was against Gibraltar, wasn't it? And he scored after 7 seconds. So, but Benteke is the one for me in this one. I just think West Ham are still feeling sorry for themselves. I don't know. When I'm looking down that squad of players, chaps, I just don't see where it changes for West Ham. I really don't. They're putting all their hope in Mikel Antonio, you know, from a crossing in the air, and hoping that Dimitri Payet does something spectacular. And, of course, he's capable of that. But I don't see Sacco, Ashley Fletcher, Zaza, Lanzini, Torres out injured, of course. But I just don't see anything in that squad. Whereas I'm looking at Palace and I'm seeing Benteke, whatever you think about him, he can score goals, and he has been doing in the last few weeks. He's got his mojo back. Jason Puncheon has created more chances than anybody else in the Premier League this season. You know, Wilfred Zaha seems to have got over that Spurs move that was touted around at the beginning of the season. You know, he's playing well. I just think Palace are the play here, and I'll just take them plain and simple on the outright to win the game.
That enhanced odds offer, Christian Benteke to score and Palace to win, enhanced to 3-1, does look good, as Tom mentioned, did get that hat-trick against Gibraltar, been in good form in the league. And Derek, I think with Benteke, he's a confidence player, isn't he? When he's on, he's really on, but when he's off, he can stink the players out.
Yeah, that's exactly what he did at Liverpool for most of the time he was there. But in his defence, he didn't get a run of matches, and that's what he needed, I think. You know, his form never merited a run of matches, to be honest. But he's hit the ground running at Palace. And everything Tom says is right there. Because, you know, I looked at this fixture, and you'll know me for many, many times saying this, Dave. I'm always prepared to oppose Palace at home when they're short odds.
Yeah.
And I should be backing West Ham at 11-4. But what Tom says is right. If you back West Ham at 11-4, you're taking it on trust that it will turn round for them. But I can't see it. I like Tom. I can't see where it's going to turn round for them. The void of confidence. The manager seems shot to bits. I just don't see a result coming for them. And especially against the Palace side, who are probably the informed team in the league at the moment. They're playing sensationally well. And you look down the list of personnel there. I made a mental note to oppose Palace this season because I thought they were going to be struggling. But I'm wondering why now. I look down at that team sheet and the seasoned players, aren't they? The proper players. So, yeah, I've got to go for Palace here at 11-10.
Palace to win the game 11-10 for both Derek and Tom. On to Sunday's live televised action, and we start with Middlesbrough versus Watford at 1:30. Middlesbrough 5-4 to win the match. The draw is 9-4 with Watford 5-2. Enhanced odds offers Stuart Downing to score and Middlesbrough to win was 4-1, enhanced to 6-1. Odion Ighalo to score and Watford to win was 5-1, now 7-1. Alvaro Negredo to score, Middlesbrough to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 was 7s enhanced to 8s. And Troy Deeney to score and Watford to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 was 7-1, now enhanced to 8-1. And if you're looking for a goal scorer bet this weekend, then Troy Deeney is probably your man. He's got 3-4 in the league and has an incredible record in this fixture. He's scored in each of the last four meetings with Middlesbrough. And he's now on 99 goals for Watford, so just one short of the landmark 100. Derek, Middlesbrough made that bright start to the season, but the only points they've picked up in their last five league games have come at West Brom and West Ham. And their defence is an Achilles heel, really. They've only kept one clean sheet this season, Middlesbrough.
Yeah, you do fancy Watford to score in this game. I've got no idea whatsoever about the outcome of this. I'm looking at this picture. And anybody could persuade me to have a bet on this in any of the three outcomes. I just don't know how it will swing. Watford, we know what they're going to be about. You know, they're going to be muscular, they're going to be physical, and they're going to pump it up to the two strikers you just mentioned. Middlesbrough know all about that, and they are, you know, one thing Middlesbrough do, they do try, you know, they can stop the opposition, but they don't look dangerous enough going forward. The thing, you know, Watford generally score, don't they? I'm going to go for both teams to score in this game at just under even money. I don't think it's going to be a goal fest, but I can't see Middlesbrough keeping Watford out for the 90 minutes and Watford generally concede too. So, yeah, that'll do for me.
19-20 for both teams to score for Derek. I mentioned Troy Deeney. He didn't mention his price to score any time. It's a big price, actually. 21-10 he is to score any time in this game, Troy Deeney. I like the look of that, Tom.
I really like it, especially when he's the penalty taker, Dave. You know, if you're looking at goal scorer bets, it's always worth noting that, because especially the way this kind of game will be played. You know, I'm trying to get a handle on Watford this season. I think I've got one on Middlesbrough, but I'm just not sure about Watford. They were, you know, they had that great comeback against, admittedly, as we discussed, the poor West Ham side. They beat Manchester United, but Manchester United were not in a great place, probably still in that place now. They were absolutely pathetic at Burnley the other week. I mean, absolutely, from start to finish, awful. They just didn't fancy it. And then against Bournemouth, you know, the other week before the break, they kind of came back twice to get a draw at home and were probably caught a little bit cold by Bournemouth. I think they thought they were probably going to have an easier game. But I think Watford have got what it takes to win this match. Middlesbrough, defensively, yeah, leaky. But I think the problem for them is, you know, they try and keep the ball off the opposition. I've watched them a few times this year. They try and keep the ball off the opposition. They want to play that you know, in inverted commas, right way. But they're not quick enough when they do it. The players that have possession of the ball are too slow. And that lets the opposition just settle into their positions. And I think teams that have gone up to the Riverside already this season, you know, the likes of Crystal Palace, they went there and got a result, didn't they? Tottenham, of course, there's no shame in losing them. But Stoke got the point on the opening day. And I watched them away from home, and it's a similar story. So if Watford are up for this one, and that's the big thing, isn't it? If Watford are up for it, I think they've got every chance of winning the game. But I'm with Troy Deeney all day long. You know, he's, as you said there, he's one goal away from that 100. I know players say they don't think about things like that, but they do. He'll have a message underneath his shirt, won't he, written on a T-shirt with a permanent marker of some kind. You know, he'll be ready. He'll be ready. And I think in this game, he's exactly the kind of player those Middlesbrough defenders do not like playing against.
Yeah, I agree. 21-10, Troy Deeney to score any time in the match. Southampton versus Burnley is next, 4 p.m. on Sunday. Southampton 2-5 to win this match. The draw 7-2, Burnley 17-2. Enhanced odds, Charlie Austin to score and Southampton to win was 6-5. That's been enhanced to 6-4. And Sam Vokes to score and Burnley to win was 14-1. Enhanced to 20-1. We've also got match action specials for all these Premier League games this weekend as well. Just go to williamhill.com, click on football, click on the Premier League and find your match. Southampton haven't conceded since being beaten by Arsenal back in early September. And they'll probably fancy their chances of another clean sheet here, Tom, because they're up against the Burnley side with the lowest possession figure in percentage terms this season, and Southampton have won their last three at home without conceding as well, so they'll fancy a win to nil here, Southampton.
Actually, they will. I don't think if you head into this game you're going to be expecting loads of goals. You know, you've actually got two decent defensive sides. You know, they've even in the last few matches, you know, Burnley have managed to, you know, a couple of clean sheets themselves this season against Liverpool and Watford. Admittedly, both of them are at home. But neither team really are free scoring, and neither side are conceding bagloads. I don't fancy Burnley to win the game. They're a huge price. Southampton are very short. But they're short because, you know, I think everybody thinks that Southampton are not going to concede a goal. Therefore, they've still got their personnel to kind of nick one. But, you know, you're looking at their home results this season and the goals that they've scored. You know, they've hit one in four of their Premier League matches. You know, they've got two in the League Cup against Palace, three against Sparta Prague, but in the league, you know, three goals at home. That's not good. And I look down their personnel and think the players that they've lost in the summer, we've talked about it before, but you cannot replace what the 30, 40 goals or something that they sold in the summer. So I think Southampton win it, but I'm going to play under 2.5 goals here. I think you've got two sides that don't give much away, and Sean Dyche will just set up. He will go for the point, and if he gets it, he'll be absolutely delighted. So it's whether Southampton nicky, but I cannot see more than 2.5 goals in this one.
Under 2.5 goals is 10-11. Derek, are you tempted by the big price on Burnley?
No, but I'm not tempted by 2-5 either. Southampton are too short. Everything Tom says about Burnley is spot on. You can't go for them at 8-1 because they played 8 matches this season and in 5 of them they haven't scored. You know, they just don't look. I'm saying they don't look a threat going forward, but you don't know because they never go forward. Against Arsenal, they were camped in their own half, and they did really well. They only conceded in stoppage time a lucky Arsenal goal there. So they've got something about them. They beat Liverpool, of course, earlier in the season, 2-0. Yeah, there's something about them. And at 8-1 to win at Southampton, ordinarily, I'd fancy it to any team at 8-1 to win at Southampton, I'd fancy them. But I don't see a goal threat in Burnley. I can't go for them with those odds. What I will do is go for Southampton to keep a clean sheet. Just under even money, 3-4. As you say, 6 clean sheets in a row in all competitions. It doesn't matter what level of football you're playing at. That's tremendous, isn't it? You know, it's sensational. They played some decent sides in that spell too. And they're playing against a Burnley team who won't come out the half. They've got to keep a clean sheet here. 3-4, I think, is a knocking bet.
I'm looking like a mug each and every week as well, Derek, because I keep saying Southampton, their policy of selling players and buying new players every single season will finally come unstuck, but it's not at the moment.
No, and they look in a real tidy side as well. You know, they've had some great results, and I don't know how they do it. I really don't know how they do it, but I wish you could tell a few other teams.
Yeah, they've got a good scouting system there, that's for certain.
Yeah.
Liverpool versus Manchester United, Monday night football. Liverpool 6-5 to win the game. The draw 12-5. Manchester United 5-2. Enhanced odds offers. Sadio Mane to score and Liverpool to win was 13-5, now 3-1. Zlatan Ibrahimovic to score and Manchester United to win was 4-1, now 6-1. And Philip Coutinho to score, Liverpool to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 was 15-2. That's been enhanced to 8-1. And Jesse Lingard to score and Manchester United to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 was 14-1. It's now 16-1. Manchester United, Derek, have won the last four in the league against Liverpool. But Liverpool did beat them in the Europa League last season and have won their last five in all competitions. Is this one of those fixtures, Derek, that sets your pulse racing as a Liverpool fan?
It does. It's probably lost its edge a little bit now that Fergie's gone. It was mostly Fergie that the Liverpool fans hated. I always remember the days when Liverpool had the Spice Boys days, when United were winning titles galore and Liverpool weren't. And Liverpool would always bat at United and then lose 3-1 because of two David James errors. You know, it was always the same. And Fergie would never, ever admit that United were outplayed or that they were lucky to get the points. You know, he just went there with his bacon face and gloated afterwards. And it did the nut of Liverpool fans. And that's one of the reasons for the enmity between the two teams. It's a lot different now. And I just can't see anything other than a Liverpool win here. They're playing unbelievably well. It's a fantastic time to be a Liverpool fan at the moment. And if you forget that Burnley result, I wish I could. You know, they'd be top of the league, wouldn't they? They'd be just sensational to watch. And yeah, they still look a little bit leaky at the back. But going forward, you can't imagine a game where Liverpool aren't going to score. And that doesn't apply to United, who, I don't know, I can't make out United. I don't think Mourinho knows what his best team is. Probably Real Madrid, I would say. He's saddled with Ibrahimovic up front. Now, I said when United signed him, this is going to be a colossal mistake. And I look at him, and I just don't see anything. He makes Berbatov look like a workaholic. He strolls around with his big Swedish hooter, you know, encroaching on space. I just do not see him. And I'm pretty sure everybody's talking about Wayne Rooney being dropped. I've got a feeling Ibrahimovic will be dropped soon because I just don't see him as a player. Then again, I'm in a minority there. In a nutshell, I mean, one thing I would say about United, they've got Paul Pogba. And when you've got Paul Pogba, you're always in with a shout. He hasn't quite hit the height he's capable of yet, but there's a lot more to come from him. And he's the man I fear. Because, you know, if he starts playing, United will be a force. That said, I think Liverpool are above evens. I think they're the way they're playing right now, they're going to score two goals. And for them not to win, United are going to have to score a couple themselves, and I don't see it.
6-5 Liverpool for Derek. Derek mentioned there, Tom, that Pogba hasn't hit the heights yet. I think that's an understatement because I don't think he's played well at all yet, Paul Pogba, for this Manchester United side. I still think the Wayne Rooney situation is there lurking in the background as well. And I spoke to Mark Ogden from The Independent this morning, and he thinks this might be the game where Wayne Rooney comes back into the starting lineup. But I'm not sure where they play him, Tom.
No, and if he does play, you know, he's like the human handbrake at the moment. He just slows them down even more. I mean, I don't think Manchester United are, you know, a quick enough team in the Premier League, and this is where this contest will be won and lost, in the speed that Liverpool have, not only in terms of their personnel, but how quick they move the ball. It's so important that now. And when I look at matchups in the Premier League, and I look at this Man United side, they're still pedestrian. Even without Wayne Rooney in it, I know people will look at Rashford and Martial, who are quick players, but Mata slows it down. He's a wonderful little player, but in these kind of big games, as he produced, I'm not too sure. Ibrahimovic as well is a player who, as Derek quite rightly says, he's not mobile. He won't run in behind. So they're going to play in front of Liverpool, which I think completely plays into their strengths. And I kind of look at Liverpool this season, and I think they're like, you know, they're a well-drilled, they're a well-oiled sort of like British sports car, really. I know they've got a lot of foreign players, which, you know, they're sort of a thrill a minute. They might break down every now and then, but ultimately, you know, you've kind of got something you're excited about. And I just can't see Manchester United keeping Liverpool down to maybe anything sort of less than two or three goals. I think there's goals in this one all over the place. I mean, I kind of had a little look back to kind of these top six meetings or the top four, you know, kind of big clubs over recent years, and there have been a lot of goals in them. You know, both teams have scored, has played out a lot. Even six of the last 10 of these kind of, you know, top six teams going head to head, over 3.5 goals has paid out. But that's where I'd be heading, over 3.5, because I honestly think Liverpool could win this very comfortably. I don't think Manchester United have got enough players to really impose themselves on this game. And if Liverpool are on song and they're up to where they've been, I don't even think this will be much of a contest. I really don't.
Liverpool -1 in the handicap market, 11-4. And if you're looking at over 3.5 goals in the game, that's available at 2-1. Maybe look at Liverpool to win and over 2.5 goals, which is available at 15-8. As well. Just one final word on this, Derek. Do you think Daniel Sturridge will play in this match?
No, I don't. No, I think he's. I think he's slow. You know, you mentioned that Rooney slowed Man United down. I think Sturridge slows Liverpool down. He's not playing well. He's got no confidence, and I don't think Klopp trusts him, to be honest. So no, I don't think he'll start.
West Brom versus Tottenham is the first of the 3 p.m. games on Saturday we're going to preview. West Brom 4-1 to win the match. The draw 14-5 with Tottenham 8-11. Salomon Rondon to score and West Brom to win was 7-1. It's been enhanced to 9-1. And Dele Alli to score and Tottenham to win was 5-2. That's been enhanced to 3-1. The stunning 2-0 win against Manchester City maintains Spurs' unbeaten record in the league this season, Tom. And West Brom have only beaten Spurs once in their last 13 meetings in the Premier League. Heung-min Son has stepped up in the absence of Harry Kane. He's got 6 in his last 7. And he's definitely been the one that shouldered the burden so far. And he's 6-4 to score any time. West Brom versus Spurs. Will Spurs continue to roll here, Tom?
Yes, they will. I actually think it's been a good thing, the Kane injury. I think he needed a rest, which he's going to get. And actually, it's proved to Tottenham they can play maybe just as well without him. And they've got other players that can kind of fill in. I was very, very impressed with Tottenham before the break. And going into the international break, with everything that was going on, I think it was kind of lost a little bit, that performance. You know, everything that happened sort of that following week and during that week. I thought it was brilliant. And Man City didn't play badly in that game either. Man City were okay. It was just Tottenham were brilliant. And they look like they've taken it on a level from last year. I was a bit surprised. I don't necessarily look at the league table very often, but I was stunned to see West Brom in ninth place. I mean, I know there's not many points between them and kind of even the bottom three. We've only got a 5-point gap there. But they're ninth in the table, but I'm not buying that West Brom are even a half-decent side. They were awful against Middlesbrough in officially, quote-unquote, the worst Premier League game I've ever seen. And, they failed to beat Stoke. They failed to beat Sunderland. I know they might look at it and say, good points away from home. But I'm not having West Brom at all. The only thing I would say about this is Tottenham won't win this with plenty of goals. I can't see there being loads of goals. You know, West Brom are what they are. They don't concede many. I know they had that mad game against West Ham, but generally their games this season have been under 1.5 goals, under 2.5 goals. Tottenham themselves, 5 of their last 7 games have been under 2.5 goals. And apart from that rout against Gillingham, it's just not happened. You know, they were 2-1 at Middlesbrough. But generally, they're getting it done, aren't they, with clean sheets and 1-2 goals. So I know every now and then Spurs do it. You know, they've walloped Stoke and a few other teams. But I can't see it being that kind of game. I see it being a tight match that ultimately Tottenham will win. I mean, put it this way, if you can beat Man City 2-0, yeah, you can have no problems at West Brom, are you?
I agree with Tom about West Brom having no real stars, Derek, but I think Salomon Rondon is a good striker. I really think he is a decent Premier League striker. Tottenham are 8-11 to win this game. Is that the right price, Derek?
A few years ago, you said definitely no, because you've never touched Tottenham odds on away from home, but it's a definite yes. They will win this one. It's unbelievable. When you said West Brom were ninth in the table there, Tom, I couldn't believe them. I've just had to check. I've just assumed it'd be 15, 16, something like that. I mean, how did Lanz at ninth? Where have they been getting these points? I mean, unbelievably, they took 4 points from Tottenham last season. That was a Tottenham team going for the league. Still don't quite know how that happened. But, yeah, you're right. They murdered Man City, Tottenham, last time. I've absolutely murdered them. They scored as many goals against Man City as England scored against Malta, by the way. And it's a sensational result and performance. And for them to mess that up, to ruin that by not taking 3 points here, it's unthinkable under this manager. He'll have them settled. The only worry, lately, of course, is they've got a Champions League match next week, haven't they? So that's a slight worry. But even so, 8-11. And it won't be a bag full, because Spurs don't look the team that's going to put bag full. They look like the Arsenal of old. 1-0 win will do us. It could well be 1-0. In fact, I might well even go for that. A 1-0 win for Tottenham.
1-0 to Tottenham, 11-2. If you're looking for a West Brom goal scorer and you want a mug bet this weekend, maybe look at Nasser Chadli. He's been involved in 5 of West Brom's last 6 Premier League goals, scoring 3 of them. And he's now got 3 and 4 for the Baggies. That's as many as he got in his previous 30 with Tottenham in the Premier League. Nasser Chadli is 13-5 to score at any time in this game. But both Derek and Tom going with Spurs to 8-11 to win that game at the Hawthorns on Saturday. A big game on Saturday afternoon. Surprise, this one isn't televised. Manchester City versus Everton is a 3 p.m. kickoff, and City are 1-2. To win the match. The draw 100-30, Everton 6-1. Enhanced odds offers, Kelechi Iheanacho to score and Man City to win was 6-4, enhanced to 2-1, and Romelu Lukaku to score and Everton to win was 8-1. That's been enhanced to 10-1. Man City have conceded 5 goals now in their last 2 games. And Everton will be, I think, looking to take advantage of that recent fallibility on Saturday afternoon. We're seeing the City of last season, I think, Tom, without Raheem, maybe Raheem Sterling's going to be out there, without Kevin De Bruyne as well. And they've not really beaten anyone of real note yet this season, despite looking good in the early part of the campaign.
Yeah, and I think probably a similar description you could say of Everton, Dave. You know, I don't think they've played anyone of any sort of real note. They played Tottenham on the opening day, didn't they, and got that draw and were outplayed for a big chunk of that. Who else have they played in the league? They played Stoke and they won 1-0. They beat Sunderland 3-0, but again, that's kind of a par scoreline there. Middlesbrough, beaten by Norwich, beaten by Bournemouth, drawing with Crystal Palace at home. I'm not having that Everton are up to much at the moment in time. They've not played anyone of any note. But Man City is a similar kind of story. De Bruyne is obviously a massive, massive miss. We were kind of talking about him at the beginning of the season, those first few weeks of the season, and people were kind of discussing him in the same league as, you know, Suarez and Messi and Ronaldo, and kind of on that level. Well, I don't think he's there yet, but he's clearly on his day one of the best players in the Premier League. But they've got that man, haven't they, up front, Aguero, and I kind of look at Everton, and I don't know, I can't be backing him in this one, I can't. I know they're a price that I think some people will think is tempting, especially with Man City, all their players that have been on international duty, the fact they were beaten by Spurs. But I think Man City will come back with a bit of a bang here, and they'll keep the ball off this Everton side, who may be, you know, although going forward, obviously Lukaku is the man. You know, Ross Barkley's not playing that well this season. He isn't really getting a tune out of him yet, is Ronald Koeman. And I worry about his career and where it's heading. Elsewhere, you know, there's obviously Bellassi and Morales and Delafeu. So there's a little bit of pace on the counter-attack. But I think Man City will win it. I think sheer possession here, they will ground them down. What have they got? 11 goals in their first 3 home games of the season, and they've only conceded 1. I'm going Man City with a goal head start. Minus a goal, I'm giving them on the handicap.
Man City minus 1 for Tom at 5-4. Big 7 days coming up for Man City because they've got Barcelona at the new camp in midweek as well, Derek. I'm not as convinced by Man City as Tom is.
Nor am I. I mean, you know, that Tottenham performance, I thought it was poor. Tom mentioned that they played well. I didn't think they did. And what struck me about that game was the number, you know, Guardiola, the manager, he's made it clear he wants the team to play, to keep possession, play it round at the back. But the ease with which Tottenham pressurised them in that game, he's just that, you were screaming out, just welly it, get rid. But he won't do it. He just kept doing it and kept handing Tottenham possession out of it. You know, I don't have to be a Premier League manager, but if I was, you know, that's going to be their Achilles heel. You're going to, if Ronald Koeman was watching that, which he almost certainly was, he's going to be telling his Everton players to do exactly the same. And they've got a bit of pace up there, haven't they, with, you know, Lukaku and Bellassi and that. They could really put the pressure on City here. And I think they're almost worth a bet here at 6-1. City were obviously against Tottenham. But let's not forget, they conceded 3 goals against Celtic in a Champions League match. This is a Celtic side that had just been blitzed 7-0. By Barcelona. I mean, how can you do that? They're to be taken on at the moment, Man City. There's something not quite right there. And I think Everton at 6-1. So there is a lot more to come from Everton. They haven't been at their best. I was speaking to a few Everton fans yesterday, and you know they're a bit worried about the way things are going. Barkley's not playing. You're right, Tom. But there is still threats there in that team, and I can see them scoring against City. Maybe even a couple. The way City are fanning around at the back. So Everton for me at 6-1.
Over 3.5 goals in the game, by the way, is 13-10. If you do fancy goals in the match between Manchester City and Everton, Arsenal versus Swansea next. Arsenal are 1-4 to win this match. The draw 5-1. Swansea 12-1. The enhanced odds: Mesut Ozil to score and Arsenal to win was 11-8. Now 2-1. Gylfie Sigurdsson to score and Swansea to win was 16-1. And now 20-1. And Alexis Sanchez to score, Arsenal to win 2-0, 2-1 or 3-1. Enhanced from 9-2 to 5-1. And Gylfie Sigurdsson again, for him to score and Swansea to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1. It was 28-1. Enhanced to 33-1. And astonishingly, in their last 4 visits in the league to the Emirates, Swansea have won 3 and drawn 1. And I suppose, Derek, they might get that new manager bounce with Bob Bradley overseeing his first game in charge of the the Swans. They need something because they've lost their last four games. But the performances against Manchester City and against Liverpool in their last two games in the league were pretty decent for Swansea.
Yeah, and let's not forget they drew against Chelsea as well when they looked down and out. So they've got something there. And the new manager, you're right, they might get the new manager bounce. The American owners got shut of Francesco Guidolin after all the rumours. Who would have thought Americans would have itchy trigger fingers, eh? I would think that Swansea will get an improved performance. They haven't been playing as badly as their results suggest, to be honest. And you know, although Arsenal have been getting win after win and generally polish off opponents like this, though not Swansea, as you just said, by the way, 1-4, come on. You know, it took a 94th-minute fluke to polish off Burnley, and we're supposed to be backing them at 1-4 to win this. I can't have it. I really can't. Swansea's performance at the Emirates, results at the Emirates, they defy belief. In fact, a further statistic that will amaze you: Arsenal have only in matches against Swansea, they've only hauled 0.8 points per game against Swansea. You know, on average, that's quite incredible, isn't it? It's the worst record against any team, you know. So Swansea have definitely got an Indian sign over them, and they're 12-1. That's a big price, isn't it? I'm almost tempted, but what I'm going to do, I'm going to do the Lee Phelps approach and put my water wings on and be very, very safe and go for Swansea with a 2-goal start, because I don't see Arsenal steamrolling them, and Swansea with a 2-goal start is even money, which I think is a big bet.
It is even money. Swansea plus 2 goals for Derek. I know what you're thinking. How has Arsene Wenger done against managers overseeing their first Premier League game, as he is on this weekend? He's won 6 of 8, lost the last against Slaven Bilic when he took over at West Ham back in August 2015, and the first against Stuart Pearce's Nottingham Forest back in December 1996. They have looked good recently, though, Arsenal, haven't they, Tom? They've kept 4 consecutive clean sheets, and they're playing with freedom, and Alexis Sanchez has been fantastic recently.
I think that's the reason they've kept clean sheets, Dave, is because of Sanchez's move up front, and I think simply because Arsenal have suddenly got a bit of energy up front and they're pressing. You know, you can kind of see that trend develop over the last couple of years in the Premier League, that teams that do press from the front, that have that pace, have that energy up top, make life so difficult for their opponents, and Tottenham are the perfect example of that, and it's exactly what they did to Man City. And I think Arsenal have kind of taken a little bit of a leaf out of there, but not to the exact same extent. I think when Giroud was up there, you know, he's not the most mobile. He did need 6 chances to score 1. But I think Sanchez there, he just kind of leads from the front a little bit more, and I think the team are playing a higher sort of pressing approach. And I think, although the record isn't great against Swansea, you know, Swansea have had a very good record at the Emirates, I think this is a different-looking Arsenal side, just in terms of their approach, the fact that they're not conceding goals. But, you know, Swansea are scoring. Swansea keeps surprising me every week. I look at them and I look down that list and I think, yeah, there's no one really that's going to sort of pop up with a goal. But, you know, their goals for record is not that bad this season at all. And they might fancy their chances of getting one at the Emirates. But, look, I think Arsenal win. But, I don't know, we talk about when they went away from home to Hull and to Watford and they were just kind of strolled to these victories, don't they, Arsenal? But at home, they still have a few problems. Arsene Wenger's still not distancing himself properly from the England job, although we all think, obviously, Southgate's going to get it. So something still is afoot there. I don't know, I think Arsenal win it, but I'm going to go for a 2-0. You know, I don't think Swansea are going to have enough of the ball. I think away from home, it's a bit more tricky for them. So I think Arsenal 2-0 is probably about right. And Sanchez to score and Arsenal to win 2-0, 2-1 or 3-1. Looks good to me at 5-1. Very good.
That's one of the enhanced odds offers here. Arsenal to win the game 2-0 is 13-2. In the market. We move on to Bournemouth versus Hull City, and at Bournemouth, a shade of odds on at 17-20 to win the match. The draw 5-2 with Hull 19-5. The enhanced odds, Callum Wilson to score and Bournemouth to win, was 19-10. It's now 5-2. And at Robert Snodgrass to score and Hull to win was 7-1. It's been enhanced to 9-1. Tom, Mike Phelan has signed his contract to become permanent Hull head coach. But whether that's something that needs factoring into this match is open to debate. They did start the season well, but they've only picked up 1 point in their last 5 in the league. But that run, they've played Manchester United, Arsenal, Liverpool and Chelsea. So they've had a difficult fixture list, Hull City.
Yeah, they have. I don't think there's any kind of great, you know, the big disgrace in kind of losing the games that they have lost. But I think when they started the season as well as they did, you know, with a couple of victories, I think everyone was obviously expecting them to probably go on and sort of carry that kind of bounce onwards. I don't think the manager, I don't think Mike Feeling getting a job really makes a difference, because the only thing with that is new managers come in or new managers or managers leave, and it's the uncertainty in the dressing room. Am I going to play? Is he going to pick me? Whereas there isn't enough players for him to make many rotations, is there? I mean, everyone who's in the squad is pretty much guaranteed a place in the team or in the dugout. But, you know, I've said it before, I'm a big fan of Bournemouth, and, you know, I've still been, I'm always impressed by just how they go about their business. Pretty quietly, I don't think they want to be noticed too much, but they're getting results. They're getting results at home. They were good victories against West Brom and Everton, albeit only by a goal to nil. But they've kind of got their home campaign off and running, haven't they? And actually, their recent Premier League results are pretty good. One defeat in four. Point at Crystal Palace, who've had that resurgence, those two home victories, and actually played pretty well against Watford. They took the lead twice, so I don't think Bournemouth will be worried about this game at all. And Hull are conceding goals. Look, it's the kind of game that's set up for Hull to get the point, and if they get it, they'll be delighted. But I think Bournemouth will win the day here. I think at home, I fancy them. Any of those teams in sort of the bottom 7, 8, 9, I think Bournemouth can outpass them, outplay them. And I think they'll win this game, so I'm just going to take Bournemouth on the outright.
17-20 Bournemouth. They are doing it with a team of Englishmen as well, Bournemouth. They've started with 7 or more English players in each of their last 13 Premier League matches. And as Tom mentioned, got big results against Everton and a draw with Watford in their last couple in the Premier League. Derek, how do you see this?
I can't believe Hull have almost 4-1. I think it's a massive price. You know, I think they picked up one point in five, as you say, but no disgrace losing those fixtures. Every game they lost in that spell, you expected them to lose. Their opponents were odds on. Chelsea, Liverpool, Man United, Arsenal. You look at the other teams they played this season. Swansea, Burnley, Stoke, and maybe Leicester you could put in that bracket the way they're playing. Well, Hull won every one of those games except the Burnley one, which they drew 1-1. You know, so they, against teams that are around their level, they've got a great record, and Bournemouth are around their level, I would suggest. Yeah, Bournemouth deserve to be favourites, you know, at home, etc. But Hull at 4-1 is just too big. No way should they be that big. I'm going for them. In fact, it's probably going to be my bet of the weekend.
Oh, Hull are 19-5 to win that game at Bournemouth this weekend. And we finished the podcast with a basement battle between the two teams that have failed to win a Premier League game this season, Stoke versus Sunderland. Stoke even money, the draw 5-2 with Sunderland 3-1. The enhanced odds, Wilfred Bonny to score and Stoke to win was 23-10, enhanced to 3-1. And Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win was 4-1, enhanced to 6-1. Sunderland bottom of the league with just 2 points, while Stoke is second bottom with 3 points. At least Derek, Stoke come into this having picked up a big point at Old Trafford a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Sunderland have now failed to win any of their opening 7 Premier League games in 3 of the last 4 seasons, which is incredible, really. And it shows you how it's almost ingrained in this club now that they start the season slowly.
Yeah, and yet they're still in this league. How does that happen with, you know, we start like that? Yeah, it is. I think Stoke is saying he's here at even money. I think that I'm at a fantastic bet. But there's two big buts here, and I still can't believe these stats as I'm looking at them now. In the last 10 games against Sunderland, Stoke have only won one.
Is that right?
10 games against Sunderland, it's quite incredible. And then an even a more amazing stat, Mark Hughes, the Stoke manager, has faced David Moyes, the Sunderland manager, 16 times in the Premier League. He's won only 3 of them. You know, that's quite incredible, especially Hughes has had some decent teams in it under him. You know, I wish I hadn't read those stats because I'd be lumping, I'm putting the mortgage on Stoke here, but that's tempering me a little bit. Stoke will win because just Sunderland are woeful. That's all. That's basically it in a nutshell. And I know that Stoke is struggling at the bottom now, but you know they will improve. Sunderland, you can't say the same about.
If you're looking at, this is almost a stats preview here, but if you're looking at the stats as well, a red card has been shown in 5 of the last 9 top flight meetings between the two sides. So if you're looking at the card markets, red card in the match, yes, is 100-30 here. Do you see a comprehensive Stoke win, Tom?
I don't necessarily see it being comprehensive. I don't know. I'm really puzzled by this one. I kind of look at it and think, Sunderland away from home, even for quite a while, I've not been too bad. In terms of scoring, you're not always getting the results, but, you know, in the last 5, you know, sort of Premier League matches, they've drawn 3, they've lost 2, but the losses were at Manchester City and Tottenham. They've drawn at Southampton, drawn at Watford, and drawn at Stoke at the back end of last season. So they've got a decent goal-scoring record on the road, Sunderland. And I kind of feel that, talk about maybe their slow start to the season being ingrained in them as well, but I think also away from home, they kind of always fancy their chances. Not always, I won't be backing them to win this one, but I think they can score a goal. And I think it's one of those incredibly nervy afternoons, because the way both managers, who are very experienced, will have kind of been building up to this one with their players over the international break. I mean, David Moyes, I think he let the TV cameras in, you know, over the international break to just try and let everyone see that it was relaxed and we were calm, because I think he knows he's made a few mistakes already this season, especially declaring that they were in a relegation battle after 1 week in the job or whatever it was. So I think they're kind of geared up for this one, Sunderland, and I think they can score. But I think Stoke will probably come out on top. It doesn't give me great faith. I fancy Stoke just about, especially at the price. But Derek's stats there about Mark Hughes and Stoke's record against Sunderland, that's not filled me with much confidence. So I'm going to go for the both score, no draw. It's a market I've been playing a bit this season. And in a game like this, it's where my eyes are drawn to. I think there can be goals in the game. Neither team can defend. Both teams will fancy the chance of getting on the score sheet. But ultimately, I'm just not confident enough in either side, well, in Stoke coming out on top here. So both score, no draw, 9-5.
9-5 for, yes, both teams to score and no draw. That brings us on to the Naps this weekend, the best bets. I'll give you an updated table on next weekend's podcast. I'm hoping we're going to have three winners this week first. Tom, you lead us off this week. What's your best bet?
I'm making more comebacks in this than Steve McLaren. I'm hoping that's the case anyway. Do you know what? I'm going to go for Troy Deeney. Everything about what we were talking about earlier leads me to think, I think he's going to cause Middlesbrough a problem. He's on 99 goals. 21-10, I think, is a big price for a penalty taker as well.
You know what? I was going to go for that. I was going to go for Troy Deeney to score. So you've scuppered me there at 21-10. While I think about an alternative nap, Derek, you fire away.
Hull 19-5 to win at Bournemouth.
Hull 19-5 to win at Bournemouth. You know what? I'm going to go with Everton draw, no bet, and protect the £10 hopefully if that one's a draw. But I do like Everton draw, no bet this weekend against the City side that are struggling in terms of personnel. I don't think they're the same side. If Sterling's out and Kevin De Bruyne's out, they're looking like last year's City. So I'll go with Everton draw, no bet. So that treble, Troy Deeney 21-10 to score any time against Middlesbrough, Hull to go to Bournemouth and win at 19-5. And Everton draw, no bet, away from home at the Etihad against Manchester City at 100-30. 63-1, that treble, chaps, this weekend.
Very nice.
Every chance. It's got every chance as well.
Lovely.
Tom, thank you for your company.
Thank you very much.
Derek, thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned into the podcast today. Make sure you download this via iTunes and get those numbers up. Check us out at audioboom.com by typing in William Hill as well. You can follow Tom on Twitter at Tom Kerwin. Follow Derek at BetLikeAPro and follow myself at D Kellner. Follow William Hill as well at WillHillBet. And myself, Derek and Tom will be back next weekend. If you're having a bet on the Premier League, the very best of luck.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey-o, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops, stop.